I'm Kate Moorhead Carroll, and this is the podcast, Find It. Today we'll be talking about one of the most meaningful traditions at St. John's Cathedral, our Juneteenth celebration, with a Jacksonville Gospel Chorale. This will be our fifth annual concert. It's a wonderful celebration of music, faith, history, and community. I'm delighted to be joined by three remarkable guests. Cedric Williams is the founder and director of the Jacksonville Gospel Chorale, a ministry dedicated to preserving the rich tradition of African American sacred music. Cedric is passionate about using song to bring people closer to God and to one another. This year, Cedric has brought two of the nation's leading scholars and practitioners of gospel music to Jacksonville. Dr. Herbert V.R.P. Jones, the guest director, joins us from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where he founded and serves as artistic director of the Heritage Gospel Chorale. We're also welcoming Dr. Raymond Wise, joining us from Indiana University, where he leads the African American Arts Institute. He is serving as this year's guest clinician and director, and several of his compositions and arrangements are featured in the Juneteenth program. In addition to the Juneteenth performance, Dr. Wise will conduct the St. John's Cathedral Choir on Sunday morning. Cedric, Herbert, and Raymond, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so grateful you're here.
To begin, I'd love for each of you to tell us a little bit about yourselves and what first drew you to the ministry and power of the gospel. Dr. Jones, what about you? You want to begin?
Doctor. Me?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
I will. I began early on with the experience of being in kindergarten. My mom always valued education. She valued exposure to the arts, was supportive of everything that I did as I grew up, of course. But I went from kindergarten to second grade and was always fascinated by me, always
you
fascinated
jumped a grade.
By
you were
me.
Smart.
Well, there's a divine history there, all the way through graduate school, too. But I went, Miss Green was actually the one that really started pushing, because she developed this elementary honor choir with students out of her general music class. And so I learned to read music when I was second grade.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And because of that, the reflection of my grandparents, three sets of grandmothers, great-grandmother, great-great-grandmother, and great-great-great-grandmother, and the great-great-great-grandmother who said to me later, when I would understand it, that she told my mom while she was carrying me that I would be a choral director. She said, he will be a church choir director, was what she said, and that I would be in music.
And I'm
the manifestation of that.
Isn't
now.
That beautiful?
Yeah.
And to know your great, great, great,
and to know all
and
three
hear
of them.
Prophesy about you.
Yes,
wow,
and to be, and she meaning Grandma Missouri, because my mom was Choctaw,
okay.
And Grandma Missouri delivered me.
Oh,
so yeah, so great. I had that joy until God called her home.
Beautiful, beautiful. Mm-hmm. How about you, Dr. Wise?
Well, I too started with music. Music's been a great part of my life. I'm a fourth generation musician. My great-great grandmother was a musician. Her and her husband had five daughters who were musicians. They had my mother, who was also a musician. My mom and dad had six children.
Wow, we're talking about a whole culture
so
here. This is like a language.
Yes.
So
yes.
You are.
Yeah, that generational seed continuing down the line. Well, at any rate, my mom and dad had six children, three older kids who were singing as a trio before the three younger were born. Mm-hmm. So I'm in the younger set. So as soon as we could talk, we were put in the family group. We traveled, sang, and toured, you know, kind of like a
like
Gospel Jackson
Traps.
Five, you know, exactly, you know, back in the 60s and 70s awesome. And so forth. So started singing at three, playing piano around four, composing at nine, first
amazing.
Church job at 12, you know, first recording of my music at 15, album at 17, and with all of those things, you know, decided I wasn't going to do music because people said that wasn't a career back in the day. Mm-hmm. That's not a real career. I believed them, tried to be anything else but a musician, couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up going to major in music, and the rest has just been history. I've been kind of doing music. 3 degrees later, I'm still here doing mm-hmm. music.
Wow, what a beautiful thing. Wow. Yeah, you can't fight what God calls you to do.
Absolutely.
You can't. How about you, Cedric?
Was raised Seventh-day Adventist, and music was very, very important in our, you know, just life period. And if I were to mark one thing in particular, camp meeting, mm-hmm. Hearing mm-hmm. that big, full, thick sound of a choir, Felt safe when I heard that thick, warm
heart. It envelops
harmony.
You, yes. Doesn't it?
Yeah. And have always followed my cousin Gail Jones Murphy. She did everything well, and I was drawn to that.
And it's great just to stayed have a in mentor. Music.
Oh yes, yes, yeah. yes. And started early on, taking piano lessons. It was much later in life I flew home to play for my godmother's funeral when I found out. It was after we'd buried and we were in repast. My mother told me that she had never charged for my lessons.
Wow, what a gift.
And when I finished my master's, I found out that my master's had been paid for by the church that I was working for. So
God was carrying you through into
I'm
music.
Just, you know, I'm living a life based on church music, and hey, I'm just grateful to be here, and just at this point, just trying to be obedient.
That amen, aren't we all? So, the black gospel music tradition is so incredible. We like to say you all have soul, you know. So, how do we talk about that, because it has such a close relationship with civil rights? So take me back a few generations. How did these things come to pass, that music is such a powerful voice for freedom and for equality?
Mm-hmm. And again, we have to go back to the African tradition, where music and dance is a part of everyday life. Almost every activity was accompanied by music, and it was also communal. Mm-hmm. So what we call the collective art, everybody played a role in it, and music was used to actually move forward anything that was happening in the community. Well, again, when African Americans come to America, facing their lot as enslaved people, they developed this new song called Spiritual, which was a response to their lived experiences, which basically was oppression. And then later on, as that music continues to evolve, and it continues through blues and jazz and gospel, through the migrations through the North and different places around the country, it still maintains that sense of commonality, communal singing, collective art, where everybody plays a role. So there's a sense that some preacher, I think Jeremiah Wright says, you can't have a collection of African American folks together without music.
Without music. Yeah.
Music has got to come up.
But you know what's so interesting is we see the resurrection coming through the cross.
Yes.
And we see music developing so powerfully out of that pain and struggle.
Yes.
And it's partly what makes it so powerful and beautiful is that you all were lifting up your cross, you could say, from a Christian perspective.
Yeah, well, absolutely. That's the sense of lament, you know. And there's a move even now where many are saying that gospel and music that deal with struggle are not worship music. But even when you look to the Psalms of the Bible, many of the Psalms that David created were songs of lament.
Oh,
songs
absolutely.
Of lament. But they eventually got to the worship.
Part of the Word of God.
So
right,
the
yeah.
idea is in African Americans, you know, we talked about the idea of the process of worship, you know, moving through the stage where you come to release. Then you relate to one another vertically, horizontally. Then you rejoice in that God. You're revived. And then you return to your community. So the idea is the music is a significant part of the worship experience and of that refueling, that regenerative restoration process for African Americans. So you will find it being ideal for civil rights movements or whatever the movements are that are designed to bring people together and to elevate people's minds and ideals about what can be.
Wow. Yeah, because it's not just lament, is it?
No, it isn't. No,
there's so
no.
So many kinds of music, many kinds of praise.
You talked about the civil rights movement. It's important to know that without music, there would have been no movement. And with the black church, the church was responsible for helping the African American culture and those outside of the African American culture who were also participants to understand that if the church sanctioned, the ministerium sanctioned boycotts, then we boycotted. And we did all of the mass meetings in the church. Mm-hmm. And before any of the business of the mass meetings took place, there was prayer, there was scripture, mm-hmm. there was a homily, and then we talked about what it needed.
It was all very based.
All very based in the church. And to understand that God, Jesus is the ultimate liberator.
Right. Yes.
And so
yes.
We're talking about liberation. We're talking about liberation in the natural and in the spirit. Mm-hmm. So the two were always combined together with music. What better way to have a universal language than the universal language of music? Mm-hmm. And so they played a very vital part in the marches, during the marches, during the sit-ins, and doing the boycotts, you know. So it was very vital, not just not just the hymns themselves, but the spirituals that Dr. Wise talked about. And at that time, more of a traditional gospel style was used during the civil rights era, civil rights movement.
You know, prayer and music, they often say music is like praying twice.
It is.
People are praying Saint for Augustine. Freedom, and right. God wants right. you to be free.
Yes.
And God made us to
yes.
be free.
Yes.
So that prayer turns into music mm-hmm. and it turns into powerful music.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. Absolutely.
Cedric, what are some of your favorite pieces that speak about freedom and from oppression?
I always loved We Shall Overcome.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the classics.
That's a classic, but I always liked it. A favorite hymn that just, you know, I can listen to it all the time, O For Faith That Will Not Shrink. That one has kept me. Most important. I'm trying to think of...
Those are some good ones. Those are some good ones.
Yeah, I'm trying to think right now of another one that speaks to me that I... Oh, How I Love Jesus.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
We did that one yesterday. Yeah. I love that one. Growing up, I didn't have a major experience going on with the liberation and freedom, if you will, just because I was in a boarding school situation, and I'm not sure if I really understood all of it. Sort of tucked away from a lot of that stuff. Mm-hmm. I saw it from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. As I've grown up now, I'm not sure how to always process what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Some of it is overwhelming because I'm reliving some things that kind of, you know, it's like a twisted psychological haze that's going on right now.
Yeah, it's a difficult time in which we live.
Absolutely.
We're You know, we don't have slavery per se, but we do have a lot of bondage.
Mm-hmm.
We do
have a yeah, lot and there is a difference.
A lot of bondage yeah. and a lot of inequality.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us some about the pieces that you've written here, mm-hmm. Dr. Jones.
The pieces that we're going to be sharing this week are kind of connected to the Juneteenth theme.
Mm-hmm.
The whole notion of Emancipation Proclamation coming in 1863, but 2 years later, you know, in the border states, you know, people are just getting the news, mm-hmm. Texas
Amazing.
In particular. There was still the sense that music was significant to the enslaved community, and they still sang of freedom. So two tall songs in particular that we're doing, I've Got a Rope, which mm-hmm. is a gospelized version of a spiritual, and then we're doing a song called Shine the Light, which has tucked away in it a congregational spiritual called This Little Light of Mine.
Oh, wow.
Are songs that are powerful songs that were songs of hope. And the irony of the African-American community is that they not only sang of their struggles, but they sang of their joys.
Yes.
They sang of their hope. So as you begin to hear the music, you're going to hear those things coming together that kind of diametrically oppose freedom and hope and pain mm-hmm. and struggle on the other, but somewhere in the middle, there's a resolve that there is peace, there is joy, there is hope, and that hope yet remains. So, I've Got a Robe says, no matter what is taken away here on earth,
mm-hmm.
I got a robe in heavens.
Yes.
I got
We're
a crown in the heavens.
No matter what anyone does
to us. That's there.
Amen.
Yes.
Free in
Christ. And the distal light of mine was a sense that even the enslaved African Americans had a way of fighting back politically, talking back through their music. We talk about what we call mask and symbol, how mm-hmm. they would speak of certain things that had an open meaning to those who were outside of the community, but there was a specific meaning to the community.
Yes.
And when they said things like, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, or Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Some of these things were songs that they were saying as a kind of sideline. You know what? We're all calling ourselves Christians,
but
you're not acting like the love
That's
of
right.
So I want to do it in my heart.
Yeah.
My light, I'm going to shine. So they were actually speaking back and talking back. So you'll hear that. We're doing another song called Somebody's Knocking at Your Door, which is another one of the spirituals. Again, we knew that many of them had coded messages, and that particular song, you know, it's like when you hear the knock,
mm-hmm.
that's the cue to run away.
Mm-hmm.
But it's based on the scripture in Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock, if any man open the door, I'll come in and sup. And that's the open message that anyone can hear and say, oh yes, good
right.
Christians. But they understood
they
it in a different way. Then there's another song we're gonna sing called Walk On. You know, this song, if you look at all African American music, when we talk about lived experience, I think it's Nicholas Cooper Luter and Henry Mitchell, they have a book called Soul Theology, and they talk mm-hmm. about the core theological beliefs of African Americans, but they talk about these things they called soul affirmations, yes. things that African Americans had to yes. believe to endure the struggles.
Yes.
And one of those is the perseverance of persons. Yes. And it basically means that if you just hold on, you're going to make it.
Yeah.
So that is what African Americans have held on to for years, yeah. no matter what it looks like. If I just hold on, I'm going to make it. So this song says, walk on through the storm and through the rain, mm-hmm. through the hurt and through the pain. You know, when you feel all hope is gone, don't give up. You can make it. Mm-hmm. Walk on. Yeah. And that's really been the story of African Americans from the moment they got on these shores, mm-hmm. Even to today. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about the sense of all the challenges that are going on, because there's still some systemic things that hinder the mm-hmm. process, although free on the paper and free in title, you know, there's still some things that are keeping
We've
people
come a
bound.
Long way, but there's a long
yes.
way to go.
Yeah. yeah, and in many regards, as you were saying, sometimes it seems that we're turning the clock back
yeah.
in some ways
Amen.
And going the other direction.
Absolutely.
But
yeah.
these songs have been songs of hope and songs of faith. Now, I'll share this with you. Enslaved African Americans knew one thing. If you can keep a song in your heart, you could make
you
it through anything.
Anything.
So they sang
music
through everything.
Yeah.
Yes, and they realized that you could take everything else away, but you can't take the song out of my heart.
That's right.
You can't take the joy
music
out of my heart.
Music is a source of strength.
Yes, so the thing is, many people have stopped singing today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the goal
That's
is, these
good.
Events, we need
get
to get people
singing,
singing.
Again, yes. which is what you're doing,
get
right?
Them singing
Both
again.
Of you are directing
yes.
choirs. So Dr. Jones, tell me about directing a choir. What is that like for you? It's got to be inspiring to bring sound out of human beings that are built to be instruments, aren't we? We're
yeah,
built to
yeah,
be
yeah,
instruments.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Music hath charms to the savage breast. And if you don't believe it, ask David and Saul. Mm-hmm. And the best way, I always consider the best way to start pulling people together is to bring them together in song and then teach them how to sing.
Mm.
Teach them how to be an ambassador of the word in and through song. We know God is a God of love and mercy and wrath, and even his wrath, he's still good.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a God of excellence, so we have to keep that to the forefront. But to understand that anything worth having is worth working for. I'm passionate about music. I am just passionate about music. It is a ministry. It is not a job.
Mm-hmm.
It is ministry. It is not a job. It is praise. It is not a job. It is worship. It is not, and it is work.
Yes.
It is work. In Pittsburgh.
And it takes discipline.
It takes a lot of discipline.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of discipline. And because singers may have these wonderful voices, these incredible talents, these incredible gifts, it doesn't necessarily mean that they know exactly what to do with that
yeah.
when we come together.
Mm-hmm.
So we as directors have to pull all of that together and help them to understand that we have 500 people here.
Mm-hmm.
So we want many, many voices, but we want one sound.
Right.
And how do we get that
yeah,
one sound?
That's an incredible job that you do to get people to focus and come together and get the sound to come
yes.
together. And convince them that you are in charge. You have to be in charge.
You have to, and you have to take charge.
Yes, you do.
Yeah,
not abusively,
but you have to take charge.
No. Yeah. But it's strange kind of conducting and teaching
mm-hmm.
and coaching at the same time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're working hard up there.
I was watching, and I always do that when I work with singers, but I was watching Cedric's group last evening as we were working with them, as I began to work with them. And my approach to anything, if we're working on music, is to get them to understand the story,
mm-hmm.
get them to understand the message,
yeah.
and get them to understand
the why behind the song,
yeah. and to understand that you become the storyteller and the ambassador of this story and mm-hmm. this word.
Beautiful.
And so I watched the light bulbs go off, and their sound changed because they began to understand differently.
Yeah. It's that message, like you were saying, Dr. Wise, it's the message of the gospel, right?
Yes.
The freedom that inspires the music
yes.
and makes
yeah.
it beautiful.
And one comment to the point, and I'll stop. I heard an alto say last night, communion is going to be off the chain.
Mm.
When we went through the pieces, and I thought, yes, it will be off the chain, because now you have a better understanding of why we are communing.
Mm. And why are we communing?
We are communing because we are obligated to do that. We're told to come together.
Yes.
It's worship.
Worship
is corporate.
God has us come
he
together.
He has us come together.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And speaking of that, Cedric, you chose this incredible song, How We Love. Tell us why you chose this. This is kind of when we're at this Juneteenth celebration, I would say that's kind of the pinnacle, one of the pinnacles of is How We Love. Why that song?
How this evolved was, when I first moved here, like the second person I met was Michael Dell. He's an organist, choir master of Second Press. In fact, his son is a priest with the church, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Interlude.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Interlude.
Yeah. Ken Miedema, a blind church musician, but he's created an organization by which he brings musicians together. Mm-hmm. Not so much a music conference, but a support for us, mm-hmm. our collective health.
Good.
You know
that
what I mean?
Sounds important.
So, make a long story short, you don't sort of apply to go whatever someone who's gone before turns your name in.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So Michael turned my name in. I got this phone call and I'm like, okay, because I'm always chasing myself and I really didn't get a chance to really talk to him that long. He called back again. He told me there was at Mercer and this and that and the other. And so I agreed to do it. I worked it out so I could take the time off and go. And so anyway, I called. And I said, is anyone else going from Florida? I said, I'll be willing to share some gas, or they could ride with me. Okay? They said, there's nobody coming from Florida but you. I said, well, let me not let Florida down. So I'd already worked it out. I gassed up my car, and I drove to Mercer. And I showed up. And it was wonderful.
What did you get out of it? What did you learn from it?
You know, when you're sitting at a table with maybe 15 or 20 other people, from time to time, not that you just don't know that, you know, they're not other people dealing with, you know, the same kind of problems mm-hmm. and whatever. But when you hear it, mm-hmm. when you see
yourself in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was such a communing,
yes.
you know, together. I loved it. It was wonderful. And there was a psychologist there that talked to us about how to keep ourselves healthy.
Good. Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times we become self-destructive when we can't conquer things. Mm-hmm. For many musicians, we're visionaries.
Mm-hmm.
I find myself seeing it all the time, and my frustration is just I can't get to what I see, mm-hmm. but I see it. Anyway.
So how does that have to do with how we love?
As we get, it's the last day, okay? And we've done all these, you know, little, you know, group sessions, small group sessions, and this and that and the other. And we're in a circle. We're locked arms.
Okay.
Okay. And Ken has put a song for us to sing together. And then he put a video on. And this was the song. All that matters is how we love. Mm-hmm. And I'd been trying to make a decision, where am I going to go for Juneteenth?
Mm-hmm.
I knew I wanted to do spirituals, but I wanted a theme.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was handed to you in that.
Yes,
song.
It was.
Yeah.
After I got through
Holy Spirit will do that.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
when
he
I got
will.
Through hearing those lyrics, I was a different person.
Oh, wait till you hear this song, everybody. I can't wait for you to hear it. Yeah. So what are you hoping for people to get out of this concert, Dr. Wise, when they come to Saturday night? What you hoping for?
Well, hopefully, for one, people will celebrate. They'll become be a part of it and not just be bystanders,
so
spectators.
Not a spectator, but
no,
a worshiper.
But come into the celebration and be a part of that. But the other thing, moreover, is we have these holidays, we have these celebrations, and many times they're just a ritual, something that we do. And if people can begin to see the significance and the impact of literally coming together, and the significance of being free to have an opportunity to become who and what you're supposed to be, those are the kinds of things that they can take away. I always lament often when you look at the world, it seems like it's so awful. You can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I always say, you can't change the whole world, but you can change a little corner of it.
Yeah.
And if we can inspire people to say, just take a corner, just take your bit, and they leave with that.
If they can go out with some hope.
Believe empowered that they can do something wherever they are in
Thank
the world.
You. Thank you. It's as if you're hoping people will find their own voice, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Not a voice for music gives us a way to speak into the world, mm-hmm. and it did that from the beginning.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I always thought that in the first chapter of the first book of Genesis, that that God sings, when God says, "Let there be light," that it's mm-hmm. it's a song.
It's wow.
not,
yeah,
yeah. not that's spoken.
I thought I was the only one who felt that way. I really did. Thought, oh, my son. That was my confirmation.
God sings with us with a song, you know.
Well, how about you, Dr. Jones? What are you hoping people will get out of it?
I always share with people when I'm in situations like this that I want people to leave with a wow experience. And that wow is a we overwhelmingly worshiped, that kind of experience. A wow in the sense of, wow, the music of Dr. Wise, wow, the communion service by the dean, wow, it was just incredible. I'm beyond words. Just a wow experience.
Beautiful, beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well, Cedric, how did you find these guys? They're pretty awesome. you have a talent for bringing amazing people to Jacksonville.
I do believe Raymond and I met at the Gospel Music Workshop of America. Okay, that's where our connection was. Herb and I met earlier because we're both from Mississippi.
Both and from the Seventh-day Adventist background.
Oh, that's yeah. a strong music yeah. background.
And your former pastor, was it Henry Wright?
Correct.
We talked about it. My mother was baptized by Henry Wright.
Okay. And
we
so got to talk. These guys are almost like family to you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and then yeah. plus he said he went to Tugler College, and
oh,
my
wow.
brother went to Tugler
College. Okay, well, right. you got a lot of connections here.
All this going on, but, you know, they've been such an inspiration
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, they are.
Just musically and mentoring, wanting to stay in church music and get disillusioned by all the whatever, but still having that call on you
yes,
to
you
serve and to be obedient.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and you have been, Cedric. You have
yes.
been. You're really a
just
light in the city.
Obedient.
We're
yes.
grateful for you. Well, thank you guys so much, and we're looking forward to singing with you on Saturday
Amen.
Night.
Amen.
God bless you.
Thanks.
And thank you all who are joining me today. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.